I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
1, 2, 3, 4. Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny.
We are back!
We are back, motherfucker!
I'm pretty sure I just blew up my mic with that one. Hold on, let me...
Yeah, my headphones, like, even cut you off to protect my ears. You were so loud.
It was crazy. I wasn't even trying to be that loud. Like, I adjusted this shit earlier. Like, what's the loudest I'll be? And then my body was like, ha ha, you thought.
You see, I kind of had that moment of clarity when I was, like, sort of 6, 7 years old in primary school. I realized that every parent teacher conference was like, so Edward's a bit loud. And I was like, look, if it's gonna keep happening, I'll just play into it. Every room I walked into, I was like, I want all these hoes to know. What's good?
I think the biggest note that my parents got from me from when I was in school, I think it's, as far as like parent-teacher conferences, I think the biggest thing was like, he's a bit spacey.
He's a bit spacey?
It's like,
were you just high or something, like, all the time?
No. I just like, I would listen, and after a while, my mind would kind of wander, and like, I would just like flip through shit and look at other stuff and not really listen.
I don't know, Marge. My mind's moving a mile a minute.
Basically, honestly, that's probably the best way to sum that up. Like, anytime I was asked a question, you know, I answered to the best of my ability. So, fuck 'em.
The only time I see you space now is when you're like, you're deep in thought, like, because like shit will just come at you. You'll wake up one day and you'll be like, you know what, today was a good day. You'll wake up the next day and it's like email, text, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, like, you know, work, non-work. It just like seems to collide together, and I'll just kind of see you just mentally just go, you know what? How about I just reply to none of it? That's better. I've literally been with you in the car when you've reached that point. Like, I'll just hear you talk. It's like, I don't know, bro. Like, you know, I've got to edit. I want to get back into narrative. You know, there's documentaries. And now it's time to play House of the Rising Sun.
Jesus, I can't. It's insane to me that I'm able to talk myself into that point mentally.
Yeah, like you're not really so spacey anymore. You just like, you just, you know, you're an adult. You're just adulting, but there's moments where it's just like, that's a little bit too much, and it's gone.
Yeah, honestly, you got to do what you got to do to get by.
For me, it's like, you know when something's affected me, because I'll just be super quiet, or I'll start rambling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, if I start rambling about shit, it's like, oh, God. Like, you can see me text to the point of overthinking. It'll start okay, and it's like, mm-hmm. uh-oh. It's been about 30 seconds. And there it is. It's like little messages that could just be one big message. It's like, ba-ding, 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 ba-ding. It's like, Ed, stop.
Dude, I've seen it happen, too. Like, I remember... There were a couple of times when we were living in Burbank, I would look at you and you'd be texting fine every once in a while, and you'd probably be gaming or something, and I'm working and you're gaming.
And then goodbye phone.
And then you put the control down and then you're texting for a while, and I'm like, oh, shit's going down. Cause you are in it, dude. But like laser focused text. And I'm like, you think you were sniping motherfuckers with your texting. It was like, because you were in that shit, dude.
I'm trying. People trigger me, bro. Like, people's mm-hmm. existence is like, just, no, don't.
Go just
brief
don't.
Someone else's, just go brief someone else's air for a while. Shit. Like, the what, like, you know, we all have our vices. I overthink, you space. And mm-hmm. that's... You know, you're Seb, I'm Ed, this is Freeballing.
And we're back. It's been an interesting hiatus. It's been a very productive hiatus, I would say, for us.
Oh, 100%. Like, we've not been away because, you know, we, like, I don't know. I don't know really, we're not, like, oh, crap, I'm overthinking, I'm rambling. Crap, Sebastian, help.
Bring it back.
Whoa, it's a big boy. Like, it's, no, it's like we've been doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. we've had in the back of our minds that we were going to get back on the podcast. We've discussed topics that we want to bring out. We've got a bit of a series planned that I think we'll start planning if we can do, like, say, maybe like 3 weeks of consistent episodes. We'll bring you guys that sort of It was the superhero, like, a it was a bit of a superhero series. We kind of want to focus the podcast a bit more to, like, nerd fandoms kind of shit.
It's kind of what we do better than anything, so it makes sense to kind mm-hmm. of like deviate that way a little bit more.
Speaking of nerd fandoms, whilst we've been away, possibly one of the greatest first seasons of a TV show started and finished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we missed all the opportunity to talk about it. Just all we can do now is tell you, our few listeners, we see you, we love you. We if we could hug you, we could. If you haven't, do yourself a favor, go watch The Last of Us.
It is so fucking good. It does the game justice, and it is just good. It is phenomenal. I can't say any more good things about this, because that's all this fucking podcast will turn into.
Yeah, we are freeballing # Last of Us shit.
Last of Us shit.
My bitch ass is about halfway through the game, so I've still got my Last of Us fix every now and then when I want it.
I still have the second one I need to get through. Like, I feel like I kind of have to now. It's before the second season, or maybe mm-hmm. I don't. So I don't know shit, but I don't know. We'll see. But, like, you know, in terms of fandoms. Obviously, Last of Us came and went, and it made such a huge impact. What has yet to, you know, leave us? The DC Universe. It's still around.
It's still knocking around. Like, they released, was it Shazam 2? Whilst we were away? That was recent for me.
Mm-hmm.
We got mm-hmm. that, like, last week, I think.
Did you end up checking it out?
I've seen it twice. I saw it, like, so I do my... I have this, like, sort of... I have this cinema... sort of, like, I don't even know what to call it.
Process?
Yeah, cinema process. Like, that's not mm-hmm. the word I was thinking of, but it's a good filler. I have this process that, like, if something's coming out to IMAX and it's not for some strange, like, if it's not IMAX 3D, because apparently everything that has to be IMAX now is IMAX 3D. FYI, nothing is actually filmed 3D. It's a fucking overlay gimmick. 3D cameras, dum dum da dum, don't actually exist.
Dun, dun, dun.
So there we go. So it's like, if you see a 3D movie, don't see it in 3D. Do yourself a favor, go see it 2D. Like, nothing's worth seeing 3D. Nothing is actually really worth seeing 3D. It's so shit. It's like, maybe for like Disneyland, Universal Studios shit. Like, they had like the whole 4D Terminator experience when I was in Florida. Because it's like a ride. Yes, it's a ride, man.
It makes sense for, you know, to have shit like that, so.
And even then, like, there's a guy in the PA system's like, please put on your glasses. Before the one or two moments fucking happen. Other than that, just sit down and enjoy. Like, so Shazam came out, was one of the first, I think the first movie this year I could see a movie in IMAX and it wasn't 3D. Just back to that point. Fucking Wakanda Forever was 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man No Way Home was not. Just let that sink in. That's how stupid this 3D thing has gotten. And you know what I blame? I blame the re-release of Avatar.
Yeah.
It was so successful over here that I'm pretty sure Marvel's like, well, Marvel owned by DC, Avatar now distributed by DC, kind of. You know, both Avatar movies are on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Fox? They're Fox distributed, I think. Well, they were.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So they re-released it. Did so well. Marvel's like, yo, like, you know, let's start making our big releases 3D again. I'm like, no, man.
You stopped for a reason.
You're not, like, the cinema isn't gonna get my fat ass getting drinks and nachos with three of my friends, and they're not gonna get my custom getting my tickets and shit, because like me and one of my friends get free tickets and we bring like a few friends who, like, that's £20 per ticket kind of thing. You put a movie 3D, like, that cinema's just lost about £100 worth of shit that, according to Cineworld, they desperately need, filing for bankruptcy last summer. So, like, you know, maybe you should, like, rather than trying to get bums in seats, start respecting those that have been given custom their hard-earned dollary dues. I'm a day one motherfucker.
Thank you for coming to our TED Talk on 3D films.
I don't need to be fucked around by 3D, man. I'll fuck around you. I'll 3D's nuts. How about that? I'll walk through the cinema and I'll 3D's nuts. Actually, no, I'll get arrested.
You know what I find hilarious about the whole 3D thing? It's like, it comes up every like pocket of years, and it's like, it's a huge thing, but it's going to fade. And I feel like at some point people have got to realize, if this keeps happening, maybe we should just drop it altogether. Because So recently I went to IMAX to see Ant-Man, Quantumania. I wanted to see it in IMAX. And I get
ours
there.
Ours was 3D. We couldn't see Ant-Man in IMAX without seeing
it 3D. So I get to the theater and me and my brother and my sister were getting our stuff. We're getting our popcorn, our sodas and stuff. We're heading into the movie theater. And this guy comes up to us and he's handing us glasses. And I'm like, what are these for? It's like, it's for the movie. No, because I didn't pay for 3D. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, I gave my shit to my sister. I pulled my phone out. I was like, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Like, no, see, IMAX 2D. A fucking manager came over to us because he saw me and this dude talking. He was like, is everything okay? I was like, yeah, I didn't pay for 3D. I don't need the 3D glasses. I can't see 3D. It, you know, it messes with my head. That's why I paid for 2D. And I'm going back and forth with this guy. And this manager pulls the dude aside. He's like, yeah, we're not doing 3D here. I don't know why that's an option. Just go put the glasses away. And he comes back to me. He's like, I'm really sorry. It is 2D. I double checked. You're going to be fine. I was like, all right, cool. And I'm like, no, this wasn't an AMC. This was a theater like not too far. It was a Regal Cinema, but it's like,
oh god, that's even worse.
But like, if 3D is causing this many issues, why is it still a thing? It should go the way of the fucking dodo, dude. Because apparently they're trying to bring that motherfucker back.
They should go back the way of the mammoth, only to turn that motherfucker into a meatball so they could eat him. How could you?
But like, it should die and fucking stay dead.
You know, like, do you have this, like, the 3D's younger, dumber brother in America yet? 4DX?
Yeah, I think the Cinemark theaters have that. It's so stupid.
You're literally, you're in some like hydraulic chair, and like one of the attendants comes over, and like if there's a scene with water, they just like they swill some water and they spit it at you. Like if it's windy, they pull their pants down and they fart in your face. If there's a fire, they just fart and then, they light it on fire and just in your face kind of thing. But it's like, so take 3D, but like give it gimmicks. Mm-hmm. Basically, again, a theater ride.
An
amusement park ride for cinema, basically. And all I can think of, could you imagine being in that hydraulic chair for like a movie like Mission Impossible or some shit?
Fuck that shit.
Like, it's like bloody Robot Chicken Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Okay, proved your point. You have sick. I will be Yoda. Like when Luke's learning to do all like the cartwheels and shit, and he just starts. The Q wing is the other joke. All right, Q wing, what's going on? Vroom, 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 vroom. He just pukes in his shit. Like that's literally 4DX.
Oh man, but
like
literally,
you sit down and like if there's a water scene, so basically Avatar: The Way of Water. Mm-hmm. I don't need some usher drinking a bottle of overpriced Dasani and just going in my face like every 2 seconds. Cool, enjoyable, being licked on by an over enthusiastic dog. There you go. There's your water moment. Wow, I feel like I'm really there. Wiping it off your face. Like, wow, my favorite t-shirt. Thanks. No. Or if you wear like you're on a date and you've decided to spruce up a little bit, so you're one of them like really nice Hugo Boss t-shirts. You know. The one you get wet, and then it's just nipples.
Not even hers, yours.
Yeah, I'm talking about the guys, bro. Like, the nipples you don't want to see, Brev.
Like, oh, no.
Oh, God, this is embarrassing. I've a relationship over, or you've got a great beginning to tell your kids.
For real.
I went so crazy in my chair that, like, my little back pillow on my chair fell off. Trying to put it back on, but
I think so. Yeah, I feel like the takeaway here is that moving forward, just drop the gimmicks. They're so stupid. They do nothing. They add nothing. They are more expensive, and they are really not fucking worth it.
Cinema is struggling enough already. We don't need that. Like, we don't need that divide, and especially when someone like who like me. Doesn't get the best experience you could possibly get in a cinema because the studios decided to make a stupid choice. I like going to the cinema. Mm-hmm. I don't mind paying more for like the Dolby screen every now and then. It's called Super Screen over here. Like it's called Dolby Atmos for you. And I don't mind paying extra for IMAX, like, because you get the chance. I saw John Wick 4 yesterday in IMAX. Dude, the music in that movie, the sound design, you felt it in your chest, man. You don't get that experience in standard. Yeah, you get to see the movie on the big screen, and it's better than seeing it on a TV. But, like, some scumbags taking their fucking scummy little kids to go, like, for an IMAX 3D, and, like, they get to enjoy no, man. Like, have IMAX 3D for, like, the first two, three weeks the movie's out. After that, make it 2D so that those that have been patient have an opportunity to go see it. That's what I would do. But of course, no. Fuck you, Ed. Wow, that's a really good idea. We're not gonna do it. Where were we? DC, Shazam. Yeah, yep. It was okay. If the first one was 7, if the first one was a 7.0, this one 7.2, 7.5.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good time.
They were both a good time. They were a lot better than some of the other DC movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like, if you haven't seen it, it may or may not connect to what James Gunn's doing. I think because the first one doesn't have a direct connection beyond a stupid headless cameo at the end.
Yeah.
Like James Gunn said, I could possibly make this work. And I don't know if Shazam 2 has done well enough for for it to warrant being included like immediately in what James Gunn's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one's looking for like, you know, the how well Shazam's gonna fit in James Gunn's universe. Yeah. We're more talking of, like, we more wanna think about what's this motherfucker gonna do with Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, all that Flash. Shit. Flash. That's coming out in June, is it?
I think so. I think like that's gonna be the big one.
That's the big one.
So that's, you know, obviously looking forward to the Flash, but looking even more forward, obviously we missed Gunn essentially releasing his slate of movies and TV that are centered in the DC stuff. And we kind of talked about, you know, recasting Superman before, and now, you know, they're going to have their own Batman and Robin, which is also, I think, interesting. And, but it's not your Tim Drake, your Dick Grayson, your Jason Todd. It's Damian Wayne.
Yeah.
And yes. So seeing that, I think it's intrigued me the most about this Batman movie, because it's really seeing the father-son dynamic between two people who just almost nothing in common, aside from the fact that they like putting on capes and masks and beating the shit out of people.
I mean, that's a lot in common if you think about it.
I mean, it's like one thing, one, two things tops.
Hey, Dad, what are you doing?
Just beating the shit out of this guy that tried to steal some Fruity Pebbles.
Can I help?
Yeah, you can kick him in the nuts.
Oh, cool. This feels great.
But I think also, like,
father-son bonding activities.
But, like, from an ideological standpoint, they differ so fundamentally, because obviously Batman's whole thing is, you know, he's got that one rule, doesn't kill. Like, Damian was raised by assassins. He's all for killing. He's kicking that dude in the nuts and then cutting them nuts off.
Damn.
Yeah. And that's exactly what fucking Batman's going to say. Damn. Dude. Too much.
And sorry, Dad. Need a trophy. So what are you going to take? Some hair? Like, some nose trimmings? Nah. Oh, God, I didn't think you meant that.
Trophy.
Trophy.
Do you have the slate in front of you? What else? What else is on there?
I do indeed. So obviously,
what else looks intriguing?
So Superman Legacy, you know, we've already kind of talked about Superman. Obviously, Henry Cavill's not coming back for that.
I have some news on Superman Legacy.
Ooh.
This was on Twitter over the last few days.
Gossip.
One thing James Gunn is doing with his, with like, is in sort of in terms of his creative control is he's being very transparent. Mm-hmm. Like, he will answer, like, when he feels necessary, he will reply to tweets. Like, he will reply to companies, like, you know, say fucking Screen Rant or like PC Gamer decides to sort of think they've got some DC news. He will literally go, no, that's wrong. And that's exactly what happened the other day. Someone for Logan Lerman and a few other actors were on James Gunn's list of Superman possibilities. And James Gunn goes, no, don't even know who that is. Wat, wat, Logan Lerman. And he literally says, there's people we have in mind who we like, but we've only just finished the script. We've barely just begun the audition process. He's shooting all that shit down. People, like, if you see news of saying, oh, so-and-so's possibly Superman, as of, like, yesterday, no, they're not. So, like, even though he's being, like, very transparent, he's also, like, you know, how much of that is, like, being, like, are you being deliberately secretive? Like, are you, you know, do you want to keep it out of people's mouths? Like, even though you know, like, who you want. Like,
yeah.
If I'm James Gunn, there's got to be someone you want above someone else, for sure.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
But it's nice that he's, like, sort of, at this moment, keeping it, like, ground level. Like, at this point, it can be anybody's. which I kind of like, especially, like, I still like my shout of, like, when we did our Who Could Be Superman. I still want this to be, like, full on, like, casted.
Yeah.
Superman Legacy Same. Movie feels like, you know, let's get someone who's, like, relatively unknown, maybe, like, done some TV stuff kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
The way Spider-Man in like the Into the Spider-Verse casted Miles Morales, the guy who voices Miles Morales, wasn't very relatively well known, and now look at that motherfucker.
Yeah,
Across the Spider-Verse is possibly going to be one of the greatest movies of the year, one of the greatest animations of all time.
And I think that's what a lot of people I feel like actors especially are looking at this role like if you're at a certain level, this can help propel you to the next one.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And if this Superman movie goes well, and the DC starts itself, like, DC is, like, I know where I want to take the second half of this podcast, if we're, like, today's podcast, if we're gonna do DC now, like, the other half, maybe when we come back after the break, isn't doing so well. And if DC, like, restarts at a certain level with its like coming off a potentially successful Flashpoint, from the way certain celebrities are talking about it, Ben Affleck and Tom Cruise both rate the shit out of this movie. You know, and then it's like, it's off to the races. That guy is bang. It, like, you know, HBO special. Here you go, kid. Don't know why HBO special is like better than being in a DC movie, but I guess HBO has, like, you know, you've got Succession that's just like this ending that's like 3.3 million tuned in to watch the first episode of the final season. I can't remember the last time that happened, like, on a show like that. That's huge. And then the numbers for The Last of Us just kept getting bigger. So I'd say HBO special right now is being better than in a DC movie.
It's definitely up there. Like, I think it's kind of the flip of it, where it's like, you know, obviously your DC movies are a little more bombastic and probably a little more out there, colorful, where the stuff on HBO, even with The Last of Us, as
that's the stuff an actor wants to sink their teeth into.
Exactly. It's grounded and it feels real. It's an apocalypse, but it's very much focused on character and character actions and the storylines of these characters. You know, it's very, very
Last of Us could have easily have gone like the Walking Dead route, humans versus zombies. But, like, one of the main gripes people have about The Last of Us is that there's like 9 minutes of infected in a 9 hour like zombie apocalypse series. And, like, after playing the game, like, I would have liked to have a little bit more infected than we saw in the series. But, like, where the series sort of went, we're not going to have that so much, because that's, like, they did that to keep you busy in the game. Like, there's moments, like, in the sewer, they didn't need the infected in the sewer. But it's, like, they realize, oh, crap, like, they haven't really done anything, like, in a while. Let's just throw some infected on it. It goes to and from. Like, you have, like, one sequence ends with infected, and then another one ends with humans. And, like, that sort of keeps you, like, that's gamey. That's stuff games does. For the TV show, they focus on, like you said, they grounded it. They made it more human. They made it about, like, survival. Like, they made us care about these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the game does, like, you know, a TV series has a shorter time to do that than a game does. Because a game, you play for, like, I think a game like Last of Us, I'm easily sinking about 14 hours into my first playthrough. But then again, I'm playing on survivor mode. So, I'm replaying missions, like, every 5 minutes. It's like, okay, I've got 3 arrows and 6 dickheads. And, like, the RNG I have to pray for so that one of my arrows doesn't break. Like, I've actually, like, if an arrow breaks, I'm like, okay, cool, fuck this, I'm not doing this. Like, just restart now. I need that first arrow to be collectible, my guy. I see some supplements, you know, my little gremlin ass is like, fucking get them. I need to negate that weapon sway, damn it.
Jesus.
Oh Christ. But yeah, like we were just saying, like, you know, this James Gunn and DC have a fantastic opportunity to cast a certain like caliber, a certain level of actor that, you know, if they believe in this script and they believe where the story is going to go, I think that's where the casting has to go as well.
Yeah.
Especially with the, like, it is like a teenage Superman they're looking for, isn't it? They're not looking for...
Yeah, they're definitely going younger.
They're going younger, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Butch and Sundance is the early years.
Yeah.
If anyone gets that reference, I'll be very surprised.
Like, I kind of... I know he's saying he's going younger, but what I would kind of like to see...
Logan Lerman ain't that young. He's our age. Like,
yeah. So essentially, like...
Isn't that the motherfucker from Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Yeah. Like, I think, like, maybe, like, a year or two into being Superman already, I don't want to see an origin story of him. I don't want to see fucking Smallville. I don't give a shit about fucking Smallville.
Like, that's where, like... Honestly, that's where the Batman succeeded for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we just got straight into, like, the nitty-gritty of it. The opening of that Batman movie. I'm not, like, yeah, The Dark Knight is better. But, like, Batman Begins and The Dark Knight Rises isn't.
Very true.
So, like, what is the best thing about The Dark Knight? It's an established Batman. It's gonna go straight to it. And, like, I know the opening of The Dark Knight is, like, iconic. But, like, the opening of The Batman was fucking good.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fucking good.
They like, you know, how do you set up, like, what you, like, where this Gotham is? Where this world is? It was the most Tim Burton Batman has been for a while. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't a bad, and, like, honestly, that's not a bad thing.
Nah,
because what's one of the best things we're looking forward to in the Flashpoint?
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton's Batman. Butman. Like, honestly, like, just that, like, that little bit where he just, like, he spreads his cape and he's jumping down that sort of, like, pipe shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, and, like, the music cue kicks in. It's, like, a little bit updated as well to be a little bit more, like, a little bit more grunge in there. I'm like, yeah. That shit's gonna slap hard. And even, and then you got Ben Affleck. He's like, oh, I finally understood how to play this guy. It's a shame that, like those five, I think it was 5 minutes he said he's in the movie.
Jesus.
And he's like, but for those 5 minutes is the best I've ever been Batman. I'm like,
fucking A.
Bro, you got shafted.
He really did.
He was tied in with that Josh Whedon Schneider shit. But that's because he decided he wanted to write and direct his own Batman movie that didn't go very well. So I guess that's where he got sort of tied in with that bullshit. But yeah, like, you know, DC's re-signed. What else is on that slate? Like, you know, is I can't remember. Is Green Lantern on there?
No. So wait, before we get into that, we're going to throw it to our very first break. And when we come back, we'll get into the rest of the DC slate and we'll talk some Oscars and some Marvel news that just happened a day ago. Huge shit. All right, we will be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Sorry. I was holding my breath for that entire break. Are you impressed? I'm lying.
I'm lying.
Sebastian paused it. So, hang on. I'm trying to think, where were we? Oh, yeah. I remember it like it was 2 minutes ago. We were talking about DC. What is on that? So, like, let's get back into it. We're talking about the DC slate. So, if you remember just before, we were speaking about Superman. We've spoken a little bit about Batman. We've spoken a bit about, like, how we're kind of... We're trepidatious for James Gunn. He's never had so much to do before. And I hope, like, I didn't think he was going to direct Superman, is the first thing I'll say before we get into the slate. Mm-hmm. Now that we know he is, that script must be the tits. If he's gone from, like, you know, he didn't know if he was going to, and now he's like, yeah, I'm going to direct this shit. Like, he must really be happy with what he's done in terms of the writer's room. Because I'm pretty sure he wrote it.
I'm excited for it, honestly. I'm really looking forward to it. So on the slate, movie-wise, he's also got The Authority. I don't know if you're familiar with The Authority.
Is that the JSA? Justice Society?
No. So they're like, apparently, from what I've read, they're like a grittier, more along the lines of like Watchmen.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
So it's...
I'm here for it. I don't know. That is new. Like, I have no knowledge on The Authority.
Obviously, you know, we know James Gunn's, you know, experience with ensembles, you know, Guardians, Suicide Squad. Obviously, we don't know how much
Peacemaker. He'll be involved as far as, like, that's very. Mm-hmm. There's a group of homies in Peacemaker.
Very, very true. So I don't know whether he's writing or directing or what his involvement is, but because he has that history and knowledge and like experience with pieces like this, I'm okay with and I'm intrigued by it. Plus it's a new group of characters I've literally never heard of. And that's how it went with me and Guardians, and I fucking love Guardians. So
there's hope there. What else looks exciting to you? What else catches your BDI?
My BDI? Oh, so Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. Cool. Obviously we're getting a Supergirl in Flash.
Kara L. Yeah.
So I'm intrigued to see where it goes. Because from what I can tell, especially based on what
is that the girl James from Gunn has said, Flashpoint that's going to be doing that?
I have no idea. I hope.
I hope so.
That would be cool.
She looks badass in Flashpoint.
Essentially, this Supergirl is going to be kind of like a jaded character. Because there was from... I don't know if you've seen the movie. It's an animated movie. Batman, Superman, Apocalypse.
No, I have not, no.
So in that specific... In that series, in that film, Kara is like she's a child. She's like at least 5, 6, 7 years old. And the... Clark is a baby. So when they're both sent to Earth, obviously Clark gets there first and Kara's kind of left in space. So when she finally lands on Earth, years have passed and, you know, Clark is... Yeah. And she becomes a teenager and stuff like that. So I feel like if it goes that route, that would be very interesting to see where she's like, oh, you know, my younger cousin is now older than I am and wiser and he's essentially my parental figure and it's not like she was a baby and, oh, she thinks this is her home. She knew Krypton. She saw Krypton die, her parents die in the name of her protecting her cousin. So I can see how that could fuck someone up and leave someone a little bit jaded and, like, very cynical. So I'm very intrigued if that's the route they go with it.
Yeah.
So that would be dope.
Yeah, awesome. I can feel that. I've definitely seen that interpreted in, like, different media. Mm-hmm. Like the Supergirl series and then in different comic books. So I think if that's... I think James Gunn has a lot to pull from in terms of developing that story. What else looks good?
Swamp Thing is getting its own movie.
Yes, that's how this first section's ending, isn't it? It ends with Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's mad. Okay,
which is so
cool.
It's so out there, but it's also like, you know, kind of keeping with like the horror aspect of it. That was something Gunn touched on.
I was one of them motherfuckers, like, you know, I love me some Titans, I love me some Doom Patrol, and I love that Swamp Thing series as well. So,
it's gonna
be
dope.
And then you've got Marvel, on the other hand, they did that Werewolf by Night that had Man-Thing in there for a little bit. And so, like, you know, it's nice to see these very well-known mythical characters like sort of get some screen time, because Swamp Thing is huge.
Yeah,
he's one of the only like Earth born, like he's like a Mother Nature born, like sort of being that's like anti magic. It's a really interesting character. If you don't know much about Swamp Thing, he's like can literally tank anyone.
Yep.
So Swamp Thing leads me to James Gunn wants to do the whole who's the big gorilla motherfucker?
Grodd.
He's gonna be Grodd. He wants to do like I'm pretty sure Grodd has something to do with the Authority.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like with everything mentioned, like and underlying characters are like the beginnings of Grodd and King Shark.
Nice.
Yeah, so nice, that's gonna be really interesting, because we already know James Gunn could do King Shark.
Oh yeah.
You know, Sylvester Stallone was awesome.
He was phenomenal. Like, he was so good.
Hand. Yes, Nanawe, that is your hand.
So that's their film slate. And moving into TV, there's still a few things, because you kind of touched on it. There is a Green Lantern project. It's a TV show, and it's going to be focusing on Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart.
Okay, because we've spent the last couple of years sort of trying to decipher, like, you know, I know Tyrese Gibson earned that paycheck. Tyrese has wanted to do Green Lantern for like since, you know, Ryan Reynolds crashed and burned with his own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, how can you be Green Lantern? Because Jon Stewart is a black Green Lantern, and then you got Hal Jordan, who's white Green Lantern. And I think, you know, it's a good sort of, but don't they, that's going to be alternate timelines. Well, not alternate timelines. It's going to be past and future, isn't it? Because doesn't John get his ring from Hal?
Well, I don't know how they're doing it, because it's being pitched as like a buddy cop team up.
A buddy cop team up? I thought John Stewart's ring was Hal Jordan's ring.
Nah, I guess not. Because it's essentially the Green Lanterns are, you know, this law enforcement agency. And
yeah, I know there's more than one ring available.
Yeah, they're going to be cops. So they're going to be buddy cops. And I think that's going to be interesting, because I feel like, especially from what I've seen in terms of, you know, the way they're portrayed, Jon Stewart feels a little more nose to the grindstone, very, you know, these are the rules, you know, this is, and Hal Jordan's kind of the jokester and that stuff. And I feel like that would be hilarious to see.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. That's how that series is going to be pitched, I bet.
Rocky and Bullwinkle with power rings.
You weren't expecting me to pull that shit.
Like, legit, of all the things you could have fucking said.
Well, you know, I don't know, R.I.P.D. or something. I don't know, fucking R.I.P.D. One of these shitty buddy movies I'm coming out with. But it's like, you know what that series should do? If it's not directly linked for the time being to the bigger DC slate, because it's a TV series, not a movie, like the way sort of Disney's handling their TV series. Oh no, James Gunn does want the TV.
Gunn's like, everything's the comic books,
everything's connected. Shit. So this kind of negates my point, but like, they should have just said, fuck it. Mark Strong is still fucking Sinestro.
They can.
This man
can.
Will forever be a DC villain. He's a good villain in Shazam.
He's really good. I really liked him. I think him, yeah. him and Sinestro is pitch perfect casting. I wouldn't be upset. Yeah.
It still is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even back then and now, Mark Strong is still that. He's still that guy. He can walk around with just one T-shirt and just be to say one thing. Hashtag I'm him. And I'd be like, yep. Yes, you are. Mark Strong, he's him. But let's use James Gunn as the segue for the DC's counterpart, which isn't doing so well. And I think with the lackluster Ant-Man, like me and my friend was talking about this yesterday. It's not if Guardians appears to fail superhero movies, Marvel's in fatigue. It's if the Marvels fail, Marvel's in fatigue. Because Guardians is ending. Nothing about Guardians suggests it's going anywhere else. Like the way some actors are sort of saying, this is the last movie for me. Okay, cool. Either you're off into the sunset, like I hope you all be. Like I hope the whole team is, but it's probably not gonna, some people are gonna die, Sebastian. Get your tissues.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I doubt Guardians is gonna fail. James won't let it. Like the reason that movie, like I'm pretty sure the timeline in that movie was decided ages ago. The reason it's been a year since that movie finished production was because it's been like James is like, VFX, we need to get that shit down.
Yeah.
Like he's been nailing it. So I'm not worried for Guardians. And even then, even if Guardians does fail, it doesn't really suggest that Marvel's on a downward spiral. It's if the movie afterwards, the Marvels, if that fails. And honestly, there's a group of fans that haven't even seen the trailer and have already discounted that movie.
Yeah.
Marvel fans are slowly becoming worse than Star Wars fans. I didn't think I was ever going to be able to say that sentence.
The toxicity is definitely rising. That's for sure. Like it's insane.
Yeah. I know some fans of Marvel movies that like, it's like, oh, I love Marvel. I love, you know, Marvel's number one. They've not even seen Captain Marvel because of how much they know they're going to hate it. And I was like, huh?
Obviously we're talking about kind of like the future of Marvel. Their chairman, Isaac Perlmutter, was fired yesterday.
Oh, visual effects, right?
No. He was the CEO of Marvel Entertainment.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he was let go.
I didn't see that. What I saw was 2 weeks ago, head of visual effects got yeeted. Literally tried to walk into work and was told, no, you don't work anymore. Bye.
this dude was let go yesterday, and apparently,
Isaac Romanoff, isn't that the actor, the writer of iRobot?
No, Isaac Perlmutter.
Perlmutter.
Yeah. And it's
I'm probably butchering that name.
From what I've read and from what I've heard online, it's not. A lot of people aren't calling this a loss. If anything, they're calling it a move in the right direction.
Okay, cool.
So the reasoning behind that is he was apparently he was known to clash a lot with Kevin Feige, to the point where apparently in 2015 he tried to fire Feige from Marvel, and Bob Iger is the one who had to step in and be like, no, what are you doing? And he was also apparently very much fighting, you know, Feige and everyone else's pushes for like diversity and, you know, more, you know, relatable cultural stories. So he was pushing against that. So it's like,
this motherfucker thinks KFC is better than Popeyes, and he'd be wrong.
Like he apparently was putting up roadblocks for the original Black Panther movie and for Captain Marvel. Like he was making it difficult for those movies to be made. And I'm like, you looking at the movies, you're like, wow, that yeah, maybe this dude is, it was time for this guy to get
you
the boot.
You know how useless you have to be in how big Marvel is that I've seen enough Marvel movies, I don't even recognize that motherfucker's name on the credits. Like, yep. There's so many other names that come up after Kevin. And it's like, I see them names. So I was like, okay, I trust you. When I don't see your name, I'm going to be like, why not? Why not this Victoria girl that I've been seeing? Where's she? Like, I think her name's like Victoria Alonso. She's been in like, she's been with Marvel for like the last like 10 years. I'm like, okay, all right. Do good shit. Okay, that's cool. It seems like Marvel's trying to take precautions. Like, if someone's trying to stop the whole diversity train, get the fuck off. If someone's trying to, like, if this head of VFX was a pain in the ass of VFX rooms, get her gone. So that's good.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's resulted in TV shows are being delayed. Secret Invasion got delayed. Loki no longer has a release date. Although apparently it did get released, but then it got it's deleted now. So there is a release date for Loki season 2, kind of, maybe, not really. Which is very ambiguous. I'm just like, until I see a blue tick Twitter account sort of tell me when it's coming, or even then, you can't trust those motherfuckers anymore because you can pay for that shit. Damn it, Sebastian! my verification journey has been halted by fucking Elon Musk. Fuck you, Elon. You twat. Marvel, we'll be back. Who's paying for Twitter? And if you are, stop it.
Why?
Get some help. It's like, oh, I'm verified on Twitter. Just John Cena rips through the wall. Are you sure about that? Like,
oh shit.
Oh, hi Marvel, come back. No.
Be back. All right. Come on.
Yeah,
back.
Over here. Come on.
No, to your left. Kibble. My left.
No.
There you
Bingo.
Go.
Bingo. Here he is. So, things are getting delayed. Apparently, for the most part, so that VFX teams have the time to focus on the movies.
And you know what? I'm all for that.
But there's one big fucking thing. Did you see the news?
About what?
Jonathan Majors.
Oh, yeah.
This motherfucker.
Yeah.
Apparently he's some sort of serial abuser to the point where directors have, from way back in the day when this guy was rising, 2015, 2016, ambiguously tweeted about an actor up and coming who's very abusive, very manipulative, is pretty much a child when they don't get their way. And someone's with the whole Jonathan Majors got arrested, then he got released, and now he's charged. Someone said, oh, this was about Jonathan Majors. And the guy's gone, bingo. And he's got support from other directors, actors. Apparently he was, I don't know if it was a girlfriend, but it was a woman that phoned the police on the original assault charge. But it is barrel rolling out of control. He's been charged, so he's still, I'm pretty sure he's still out right now. So whilst they build the case around him, but that shit's going to court. What do you do?
And here's the thing too. It's obviously what do you do, but what do you do when you realize you've built the next 6-7 years of films around this guy?
He was one of the better things about this shitty Ant-Man movie.
Mm-hmm. He was a great reveal at the end of Loki, and it's just like, wow, I don't know.
I was looking forward to seeing him as Kang.
I was blown away at the end.
Chris Hemsworth saying he was going to come back for Kang Dynasty. You mean to tell me this motherfucker literally shows like, are you the guy with the hammer? And now you're actually going to give us like our four versus that Kang? Fuck yes, I'm here for it. Yeah, oh, I'm the guy with the hammer, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. We're bang. But like, no one else could play that role. Don't want to see anyone else play that role. Don't want to see a different villain.
You know what's crazy, though? It's like, in spite of this, taking a look at the Ezra Miller thing, he's probably still going to be able to do it.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Because even whilst Ezra was, like, being charged, going to court, in his free time, he was bloody filming reshoots for Flash. Getting that dough.
Mm-hmm. I also want to... If this actually happened, then it's fucked up and he shouldn't be allowed to do the movie. Like, it would suck to lose that, but, like, nah. At the end of the day, it's, you know, innocent until proven guilty. That's how it's got to be. You can't... And it sucks, because, like, even if he is proven innocent, this is always going to be around him. It's always going to follow him.
In that respect, and that's what happened with Justin Roiland. People were so quick, like... You know, Comedy Central didn't even think twice about getting rid of that guy from his baby, Rick and Morty. Mm-hmm. The characters he voices for the most part, to the point where people are like, oh, get this TikToker who's built his whole TikTok around doing the voices. Get him to come and do it. And like, apparently he was like keeping white, like his wife in the basement kind of shit. And it wasn't the only one. Like, he's done it to previous girlfriends. And apparently it was all bullshit. Like, all the charges were dropped and his court case was dropped and he was let free and he's like, yeah, I knew it was all bullshit, but everyone was like he's now just coming back onto social media and all he sees is like how quick people were to be like, oh, that's why I don't like the comedy and Rick and Morty and all that shit. And yeah, I was one of those people. You know, like, for me, Rick and Morty is very misogynistic comedy for me. And that, it doesn't really do it for me anymore. There's just something and it's kind of why I didn't really like Ant-Man. It was like, it was a really long Rick and Morty episode for me, really.
That's fair.
Justin Roiland is for the most part now an innocent man. But... Mm-hmm. What was the first one that happened? He was the character assassination, and it was 100% successful.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's out and he's innocent and he's not been charged, the idea that it could have happened will stop this man from getting work for a while. That's what someone wants to happen to Jonathan Majors, and if it has happened, then Marvel needs to take the right actions to, I don't know, maybe just fucking, you know, focus on what you do have, which is the Secret Wars.
Yeah.
You can just go full out on Secret Wars. You can shelve the Kang thing for now, and you can, like, those movies are still being written, and for the most part, some of them should still be in bullet point note form, in pitch decks, really.
You know, you can still do Kang as is, because, like, one of the best things about that specific character, his face can change. There's different versions of Kang. You can have a different version of Kang.
But we've already seen...
Yeah.
Like, they're doing Jonathan Majors is every version of Kang.
I know. I'm just saying, it's a possibility.
It's a possibility, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, if they can literally write out Janet's quantum powers, because apparently they were confusing test audiences, that's literally what happened. Janet no longer has powers in Marvel. Mm-hmm. Like, so the reason why Ghost is living in Marvel isn't a thing anymore. So we saved a character through some bullshit. The reason they were in the quantum realm harvesting, like, the quantum shit so that Janet can harvest it. No. The reason why Ant-Man was in the quantum realm during the whole Infinity War Endgame prelude is bullshit now. This writer they've got, this Jeff Loveness, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's shit. it's easy for me to say I'm here talking about him in my little house in Solihull in the UK, and he's there writing for Marvel, so he's done something right with his career. So
he's got to be decent,
all power to him. But he has to be able to see the, like, look, man, you wrote Doctor Strange. That was a fun time. I was a little bit too critical of that movie when it came out. I can look back at it now and go, you know what? We got an undead Doctor Strange with a zombie cape.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. That was cool.
That was pretty cool.
Was it written well? and then you did Ant-Man, and that, like, there was some dialogue in that movie that was just, ow, like. It hurt my feelings, bro. Like,
jeez. Oh, shit.
Christ. They should just get the Daniels. They just proved they could write a multiverse movie.
Oh, yeah.
And get an Oscar for one. Segue.
That is a hell of a way to set up the wrap-up of this episode. Fucking everything, everywhere, all at once. One. Everything, all the majors, they fucking won it. I'm so happy for it. It's so good. I watched it with my dad. My dad fucking hated the movie.
Oh, I watched it with my dad. My dad loved it. As soon as he saw that Joe and Anthony Russo produced it, he was like, oh, my boys. Because, you know, literally what my dad said is like, dude, just because, yeah. Your boys, your Marvel homies. Like... Why did your dad? I need explanations. Why didn't your dad?
So we're sitting there, right? We're watching it, and he's like, "I don't get it." It's like, well, just watch it.
You literally have a daughter. You literally have a daughter. You should get it.
And that's the thing. All of that stuff just kind of either went over his head, or it just didn't get his attention. Like, the only times I noticed where he seemed to, like, even be remotely into the movie were the fight sequences.
Of course.
And that's the thing. They're
good fight sequences.
He's very much into, he loves action movies, action movies, action movies, action movies. He doesn't really watch dramas. Comedies, almost.
He'd enjoy never. John Wick 4.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, John Wick movies, for sure. That's his cup of tea. Everything Everywhere is not for my dad. And, you know, so he didn't really enjoy it, but he watched it because my sister wanted to watch it with him. My sister fucking loved it. So, overall, you know, but still, it won everything. It won all the people who deserved to.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah. Best director, best picture, best actress, best supporting actor, best supporting actress. I think I'm pretty sure it won best original screenplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. Brendan Fraser got best actor.
Yes.
All Quiet on the Western Front got best cinematography, I think.
I think so.
As well as best sound, which is best soundtrack. All Quiet on the Western Front got.
Yeah. It's also got international feature.
Cool.
RRR won original song. For Natu Natu.
Natu Natu. I've not seen that movie, but I hear it's a good time.
Fucking Guillermo del Toro won animated feature. He was the first, so he made Oscar history. He was the first person to win an Oscar for animated feature, best picture, and best directing.
Oh, damn.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. I love that.
What else?
Didn't Top Gun win something? Was that best sound? Like, best sound design?
Yes. Top Gun got sound.
I'm glad I remember that one. Best editing went to Everything Everywhere. That's probably restarted the conversation of if you win best editing, you win best movie.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Batman
didn't win anything it got nominated for, which was because it didn't get nominated for anything that it should have been nominated for, which was, you know, criminal.
Makeup and hair went to The Whale.
After my trip to LA, one of the reasons why we didn't record for a while was because Sebastian went from filming his documentary for 2 weeks, and then I went to LA for a week. So that was 3 weeks where we couldn't do shit. having some conversations, I realized Brendan Fraser isn't actually a fat man.
No.
Like my everyday struggle is not your pity porn for an Oscar. I get that a little bit. Mm-hmm. That was probably one of the biggest reasons why he got the Oscar. His performance is great, but fat actors do exist. They do deserve, they deserve these roles. And it comes off the cusp of Emma Thompson being cast as Miss Trunchbull for mm-hmm. Matilda.
Yeah.
And I was like, last I looked, Emma Thompson is like a stick insect. Miss Trunchbull is not.
Yeah, this seemingly return of the fat suit is like I don't know. I'm not 100% for it.
I'm not 100% for it. I enjoyed The Whale. My perception of The Whale was that, I loved it, but then mine eyes have seen the glory, so to speak, ever since. Mm-hmm. And, fair play to him. Brendan Fraser, he was out of the limelight for a while. It's nice to see him back. I just hope, he can do good things.
Yeah.
If he wants to give to some, weight loss charities, I wouldn't be opposed. It's half the reason why you won your Oscar, bro.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. What else won shit?
Wakanda won best costume.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I agree with that. That was awesome.
Avatar won visual effects.
Of course it did.
Yeah. All Quiet won cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
And production design.
Yeah. All Quiet was, that's good cinematography. There's good production design as well, actually. A war movie should win production design. If you get a war movie's production design right, that is mm-hmm. Oscars every day of the week.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think that the story of this year's Oscars was very much a tale of Everything Everywhere and All Quiet on the Western Front, because they essentially just split the majors between the two of them.
Also, who's possibly going to get up and slap someone?
Yeah, that...
We've had that, you've done that now. You need to let that die.
Like, Jimmy Kimmel ran that shit into the ground.
Honestly... Fuck. Chris Rock had his Aftermath comedy special. Not seen it. Mm-hmm. Don't care for it.
I wasn't a big fan of it. I didn't think it was that funny.
Yeah, you were saying you watched it whilst I was out there, right?
I don't know. There's just something about it that didn't really hit. Even when he was talking about the stuff with Will Smith, it was funny, but it just felt like it was just something that needed to be done, as opposed to something that he actually wanted to do.
Yeah. It's I think for the most part, all this sort of comedy about it, the way the Oscars didn't let it go, that's probably not helping Will Smith dealing with it mentally.
Yeah.
When he already has enough home problems, he has to live with Jada every day. I couldn't do that.
He's had a year of abuse for it, and he's still going to be banned. And the most visible thing that really struck me, I don't know if you know the tradition where it's the winner for best, because the way they were doing it, the winner for best supporting and best supporting actor and actress last year represented.
They flip them. Best actor gives to best actress. I remember this because Brie Larson had to give Casey Affleck the Oscar for Best Actor for Manchester by the Sea. And you can literally just, like, she does not want to. She was like, anyone but me can give this Oscar, because there was the whole Casey Affleck being a bit of a twat.
Yeah, at the time. And the way they were doing it this year, they had the winner of Best Actress and Best Actor presenting both Best Actor and Best Actress. And they had, so obviously Jessica Chastain won last year, but Will Smith couldn't be there because he's been banned for 10 years. So they had Halle Berry come in and take his place. And that threw me. It's like, why Halle Berry?
What are you trying to suggest right now?
Like, I don't understand.
It's Will Smith with tits. Like, can't tell the difference.
It's like, it threw me, and it took me a second to be like, why?
Wait. Like, this feels wrong.
You could easily just had Jessica Chastain do it by herself.
Yeah, honestly. Like, and then we knew Everything Everywhere All at Once was going to win because they had Harrison Ford deliver the Oscar. But isn't it like, didn't he win something before the Oscars? Is like that year's winner of something delivers the Oscar or some shit?
Lifetime Achievement?
Lifetime Achievement. No,
you think? I don't know.
I think so. I'm not too sure. Like, the Oscars are like, I was flying. I was like, I was in the air. Like, I saw, I'm not even trying to pronounce this, like, Best Supporting Actor. I saw that guy win.
Kwee Kwan.
Yeah, that's the one. I saw him give his very passionate speech. Mom, look, I won an Oscar. That was great. And then it was literally, I had to go. I was
fucking A. You know, honestly, if they had him do it just for that moment where Kay runs up to Harrison and they shit a huge hug, I'm all okay for it. That man deserves all of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I was your sidekick and now you're here handing me a motherfucking Oscar.
Fuck you. No, wait, sorry. Yeah, no, honestly, my mentality right now is fuck the Oscars. I'm doing predominantly TV based writing. I've got I'm editing and writing two original creature features, editing one, right, and then writing my own. So that's pretty fun. Like, yeah, I can. That's just pure Cocaine Bear style entertainment.
There you go.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's good, it's good shit. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, I'm basically right now just I'm just doing me.
And I'm in post production on this documentary, and there's a part of me that's just like, I just kind of want to get through it so I can move on to something else.
Yeah, man. Well, by the time you get out of post-production for that, I'll hopefully have something to show for sex, drugs, rock and roll, and fucking video games. I promise you. By the time you finish that, there'll be something to do with that. Either it's like writing it with me, or developing the pitch deck with me, or pitching it to someone who I have interested.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah, motherfucker.
Fuck yeah, motherfucker.
And I think that's our comeback.
Yeah, that's gonna wrap up this.
Someone call this Kim comeback because we got our own comeback. Don't call it a comeback.
All right, everyone, remember to like, subscribe, share us. Let us know your thoughts. Is there anything we missed? Anything you want us to talk about? It's free balling, so you know, free ball. What's up?
Free ball. Get your balls out. That should literally be our motto. Get your balls out.
Get your balls out.
Get your balls out. I'm a woman. Get your balls out.
You gotta go full Letterkenny for it, bro. Get your balls out.
Get your balls out.
All right, everyone, take it easy.
See you later, fuckers.
and join us on a trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the script. I hope you don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.